You know, there are indeed wonderful blessings that we enjoy in Christ. Not only do we have a relationship with the Father and His Son and with the Holy Spirit, but as Christians, we also have a relationship with each other. As Christians within the church, we are members of one another. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. He says, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Now, what Paul is trying to tell us here is that we have a special bond, a special tie that binds us together in a special way. Even though we are not blood related, as some of us in this room are indeed blood related, but we have even a stronger bond that comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we just sang this song, and it was a beautiful song, and it describes for us this bond that I'm talking about. The title itself gives us that indication with "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." This song was written in 1782 by John Fawcett. The melody was put together by George Nagel and was arranged on paper by Lowell Mason in 1845. We have many books or many songs in our book that was put together by Lowell Mason. Many of you may recognize that name as you go through our songbook. Tonight, what I want to do for just a few minutes is I want us to take a look at "Blessed Be the Tie." And I want us to talk about the bond that we enjoy in our Christianity. Now, if you look in your book, you're going to find six verses in our book. I only use four for our study this evening. First verse: "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." Now, we know that God binds us together in love. Now, first of all, let's find out what this tie does not bind us in. It is not an earthly tie. The binding that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ is not an earthly tie. It is not a tie of friendship, and we have many friendships within our lives. We can go back to early life and find people through our memories of people that we have fond remembrances of as our friends. But this tie that binds us together here is not a tie of friendship. It is not even a tie of marriage, which is the closest human bond that we can have on this earth. It's not a tie of marriage. Along with that is also not a tie of family. And all of these are important, and they play a very important part in our lives each day. But all of these ties are either a social tie or a physical tie. Another thing about this tie that bonds us together is that it cannot be broken like earthly ties can. Earthly ties are broken because of separation. When we part company from each other, you know, next year I will have my 50th high school graduation reunion. And it will be in 90% of the people I have not seen until we walked out of the gymnasium together in May of 1976. And they were all my friends. And we were separated by time and distance over the years. You know, the Christian tie is far stronger than that. It cannot be broken by separation. It cannot be broken by incompatibility. You know, as we go through life, our interests change. The directions that we go in life change. And it may be different from someone who was important to us in the past. And because of these incompatibilities, we are no longer bound together with the same understanding and the same vibrance that we had at one time. And then, of course, this tie that binds us through Christ cannot be separated by death. And all of us in this room will experience physical death. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says this binding that we have as Christians will stay even together through death. And we will be together even after death. That's one of the most wonderful things about being a child of God. So this tie that binds us together cannot be separated. It cannot be broken through these things. So let's look at what the tie actually does. The tie that binds us is love. It is love that, first of all, is not easily broken. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, "But above all, these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection." You know, love is the reason we do many things in our life. Love is probably the strongest of all emotions that we can possess. Had it not been for love, those of us who are married would not be married today. If it were not for love, we would not have had our families. Love is a very powerful thing. And love is not easily broken. The love between God and man is not easily broken. Because love comes from a God that is a God of love. 1 John 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love." If we love God, we will love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, scriptures tell us that you can't do one without the other. And then love that we have is learned from the example of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." When he talked about the greatest thing that a friend would do is to lay down his life for his friend, that was him. That's what he did. He laid down his life for us. That's what that binding does. That pulls us together as part of something far greater than anything we could possibly have in this life. Now, the second part of verse 1 says this: "The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." In other words, what this is saying is this tie that we have through Jesus Christ brings us unity. It brings us togetherness. It involves a unity that Jesus prayed for. And we read this in John chapter 17 and verse 21. He said that they may all be one in you, Father, or in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Jesus is praying that we all be together, all speaking the same things, having the same thoughts, and the same mind, that we be one with him. It's the same unity that Paul prayed for. We read of this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." This tie that binds us together is based on love and unity that we have for each other and that we have for our God. Second verse. "Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers." I don't need to tell you this, but we are a blessed people for the simple reason that we can approach our Heavenly Father in prayer. We have already done so tonight, and we will do it again before we leave. You know, it is a privilege that we have in Jesus, the privilege of prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore," excuse me, "come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, this song suggests that we have frequent and fervent prayer, praying for one another, praying with one another. And prayer is a benefit that brings us closer together, that binds us together in a tighter way. It strengthens us as God's children. The second part of this verse says, "Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one our comforts and our cares. And now what this is telling us is that we have similar concerns and desires in life. We are concerned because we are humans in this world. We think about things that we need, things that we desire, things that we want in life. We desire to be healthy because we fear sickness and dying. We desire the comforts of life. We desire to have a good job because we fear joblessness. We fear poverty. And this is a common thing that we all share because these things can happen to us. And so we are similar in these ways. We have concerns and desires because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We share in the hope of the resurrection and in the hope of eternal life. Almost every prayer ends by saying, Lord, when you are finished with us on this earth, give us a home with you in heaven. Grant us eternal life. We want to be together with you there because we really can't be with you here, at least in a physical sense. Peter tells us this, 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 3. He said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away and is reserved for you in heaven. And our hopes go with that thought. We hope for this result in our lives. Another thing we share according to this verse is our struggles against temptation and persecution. And that's why Peter tells us that as we go through life and as we go through life together, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant because we have an adversary and it is the devil, and he walks about like a roaring lion. And he's trying to take us away from God. He is trying to destroy us. So we have a lot in common. Our fears are common. Our desires are common. Our hopes are common. Our comforts that we want, the care that we want, is all common. Verse 3. We share our mutual woes. Our mutual burdens bear. You ever think of the fact that we as children of God should share in each other's burdens? No one in this room wants to have a burden in life, yet every one of us in this room have. We have dealt with things that we don't want to deal with, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be a mental issue, whether it be a financial issue. We have all dealt with something in our lives that makes life difficult. As Christians, we are to help bear each other's burdens in life. Paul tells us this, Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, this would be something that we must do. This is the law of Christ, that we work together. We help each other as we go through our burdens. We help others as they go through their burdens, and they help us as we go through ours. In times of spiritual weakness, we are to pray for one another. James tells us this, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It is very powerful. It is very mighty. And it can indeed make a big difference in our lives. We know that ourselves in many ways as we go through life together. Prayer has made a big difference in our lives. And we need that prayer. In times of persecution, we need to remember one another. The Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Do you ever think about the people who are persecuted physically for their love and their dedication to the Lord? We talked about that this morning to some extent. We really don't know what persecution is here in our country because we are given the freedoms that we have. But it's not the same all over the world. Do you ever think about those who have to hide to open their Bible to read? Do you ever worry about those who are meeting by candlelight at night to worship their God because they're afraid that they will be seen? They are a part of us. We need to share in their need. We need to help them, if nothing else, to pray for them that things will get better for them. We need to remember them, and as the Hebrew writer says, as if we are chained with them. And in times of physical need, we are to provide for one another. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their time of affliction. James 1:27. There are things that we can do to help one another in life. We are expected to do that. We share our woes. We share our burdens. And we help one another. The second part of verse 3 says this: and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Have you ever cried for someone because of problems that they are going through in life? Now, we all have to go through problems, and we have all shed tears for our own problems in life. But have you ever shed a tear for someone else? You know, God composed us in a way that we can care for each other. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning of verse 24, Paul said, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part with which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. He tells us in Romans 12 and verse 15 to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Verse 4. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. What do you mean by asunder parting? There's that physical separation that takes place. I'm speaking of death. And when we walk away from people that we have not seen. I was talking to Randy Joe just a few moments ago, and they just got back from a family reunion. And they hadn't seen their family since 6 months before they left to move to Pennsylvania. That's a long time not to see members of your family. And I was telling her that my last family reunion was before we moved here, since I have seen a lot of the members of my family. Very difficult when you can't see those you love and those who you have spent so much time with in your past. Departure can be painful, and it can hurt. We have the example of Paul and the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. Verse 37 and 38. It says, then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. Can you imagine what that does to the heart, what that does to the mind, when someone that you love, someone that you care about, and you find out that you're not going to see them again? It pulls on the heartstrings. It's a very difficult thing to accept. And there are times that we go through that, especially with death. But then there's the second part of verse 4. But we shall all be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Yes, we will all experience this separation of the flesh, but we can still be together in spirit. And that spirit can live forever with God in heaven. You know, Paul said in Colossians 2 and verse 5 that though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, he was talking about things that are still happening here. And he was wishing them well in their Christian trek here. But you know, he had in his mind of that wonderful reunion that will take place in heaven When all of God's children get home, when we come together to be together for all eternity, and how wonderful that is going to be. And we can be comforted by that hope. Every one of us in this room have lost loved ones to death. Whether it be a parent, whether it be a child, whether it be a brother or a sister, or maybe even a close friend. We all know what that's like. But to know that in Christ, we have a hope of being with them again. And that we will be together with them for all eternity. This is because of the hope of the resurrection that we have. And our hope of resurrection stands in the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And through his resurrection, he has given us the hope of a resurrection. And that keeps our hearts joined together. It keeps that tie binded together, stronger and tighter each day as we get closer to that time. Blessed be the tie that binds. What a beautiful song that describes the blessings of a oneness that we have with Jesus Christ. It expresses how many Christians feel about each other. It expresses how we should feel about each other. It is only for those who are diligent in preserving their unity in Christ who will receive these blessings. I ask you tonight, my friends, have you been added to the Lord's church? Have you received this blessing through your obedience to the gospel of Christ? If not, there is no better time than to do it tonight. It may be that you are a Christian and you have walked away from this bond that at one time tied you to a wonderful church and a wonderful group of people, and you've walked away from that. You can still come back and be bound again with God's love and with the love of the people around you. So tonight, blessed be the tie that binds. And be sure that you are bound together with Christ and those who are in Christ. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.